Hi everyone, it's Father Jim Churn, and you're listening to the Pope Benedict XVI School of Prayer podcast, where every week we're listening to and reflecting on the late Holy Father's catechesis on the foundational elements of prayer that he gave back in 2011. This past week's was another one of his shorter summer siesta reflections that he was giving while he was on vacation at Castel Gandolfo. In Italy, and it was entitled Meditation because it was basically on the practice of meditation. And a couple things that stood out for me. First, just an observation about meditation in general is that I think a lot of people are either intimidated by it in terms of a religious spiritual practice, and they think of it's something only religious people do, people in religious orders or priests. Or they've heard of meditation and maybe have even practiced like secular forms of meditation, whether it's transcendental or yoga and different practices like that, where they're using it more of for psychological reasons, to help deal with stress and anxiety issues. I know there's been a lot of discussion about that in a lot of different corners in terms of Catholic and otherwise, in terms of our reactions and feelings about that. I think that that's, in a lot of ways, muddied the waters for people, that they, either people shy away from it because they think that there's something that they need to be cautious about, or it's something that they don't understand. So that's a lengthy introduction just to, how, in my own experience, in my own interactions with people in terms of spiritual direction and pastoral counseling, that when you start talking about meditation, how people kind of have this almost negative reaction a lot of times, or think that it's something outside of their experience or something that they wouldn't be able to do. And I think that that's why this was such a, even though it was a short catechesis, that the Holy Father makes a lot of really important points that, what is meditation? It just means remembering all that God has done, not forgetting his many, many great benefits. That we kind of ruminate on the things that the Lord has done. And when you think about why there's been such a psychological emphasis on it, a lot of the reason that that comes from is that where a lot of anxiety and depression comes from for people, in terms of at least my very limited understanding of psychology and psychological treatments, is that people are often fixating on things that they're anxious about. They're remembering the negative things, and sometimes outside of their control too. So if they have a traumatic experience or some sort of a crisis, and that kind of triggers things for them, and they get fixated on it, and they just are remembering that, and that's what's causing the depression. So different health professionals will try to help redirect people to be thinking about other things. Spiritually, though, when we talk about remembering all the great things that God has done for us, and, to me, I think that there's obviously an even more important power behind this, because it's supernaturally where the Lord is speaking to us and inviting us into conversation with him. So when I'm remembering different gospel encounters, when I'm remembering different experiences that different people had throughout the scriptures, whether it's one of the apostles or one of the saints, or even some of the heroes from the Old Testament, and you kind of enter into those scenes, you can hear how the Lord is kind of redirecting you and trying to invite you into these different encounters with him, as you're remembering what he has done and what he's continuing to do in our day and time. So it's, I think I just put that out there as an invitation to reconsider this, if this is something that you've not necessarily given a lot of thought or practice to in terms of your own spiritual practices. And you could start very simply by even something as beautiful as the devotion of the rosary. A lot of times people forget that a major part of the rosary is meant to be focusing on those mysteries that initiate each decade of the rosary. So on Fridays, especially during the season of Lent too, that we focus on the sorrowful mysteries, you know, scenes of Jesus' passion. And as we're recounting these different moments, you know, we're invited to do that with the Blessed Mother accompanying us in prayer. We're invited to see these scenes through her eyes. We're supposed to kind of experience it through what she experienced, and how, you know, the Lord was walking with her even in the midst of, you know, her times of sorrow as she accompanies her son in his sorrow. You know, that's one of the beautiful parts of the rosary, that it's not a matter of just reciting or repeating prayers that are familiar to us, that are memorized, that we just are rattling off, but like in the sense that, you know, they're supposed to kind of invite us into the story, and that the Blessed Mother is accompanying us. So that's an easy way to get started, and maybe just spending a little bit more time with that. One resource that I enjoy a lot is the smartphone app called Hallow. On there, they have a whole category of rosaries. And they're all the same prayers. It's all the same you know, mysteries. But a lot of them have different things. So there's a scriptural rosary where each decade and each Hail Mary is started with a verse from that mystery. So if we're talking about the Garden of Gethsemane, there'll be scriptures that recount that whole scene. So you can, each Hail Mary, you're greeted with a verse from scripture. There's other ones where there are reflections offered by Bishop Barron. So there's just a diversity of them that can help you to enter into it in a little bit different way if you've never done that before, if you want to challenge yourself a little bit more with the rosary. Another thing that to consider is just the idea of Lectio Divina, where you're intentionally sitting and contemplating the different scriptures. And again, that could seem like something very daunting and very difficult, but it doesn't have to be. Very simply, you can just pick up the Sunday scriptures. You read the, you know, you begin by just praying, asking for the Lord to direct your thoughts, your words, and your prayer in that time, and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you as you're doing this. You read through the gospel once so that you're familiar with it. Then you kind of like just sit with it for a second, and then you kind of reread it again, asking for the Holy Spirit to, what does he want to underline for you? What does he want to highlight? Like, what character's standing out? What's something that you haven't ever considered before? Maybe even hearing a familiar gospel passage, but something sounds different to you. Just a little personal reflection, my own homily preparation, a lot of times that's how I usually spend a lot of my homily prep time, is that I'm reading the gospel, I'm reading commentaries, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through a lot of these different voices. And then when I'm sitting with the scripture, like, I usually, a word or sometimes a phrase or a couple of lines will stand out to me that, like, really are like, I'm like, okay, the Holy Spirit's inviting me to go dig on this, just to really fix my thoughts on that. And then I just start doing brainstorming on that and just start jotting notes and stuff. So that's, and I, a lot of times it's always, people say to me, like, you know, I never knew, I had a student this past week say to me after a Sunday Mass, he said, you know, Father, when you start your homilies, I'm never quite sure where you're going. And I'm like, well, that makes two of us. Although, by the time I'm delivering the homily, I do know where I'm going. But like when I'm sitting with it at first and I'm starting to jot a couple ideas down, I don't have a clue where it's going. And then I'm always amazed somehow that there's a beginning, middle, and end there. So at any rate, one final thought, one final rambling here, where the Holy Father is talking about Mary being the real model of meditation. And he refers to the Gospel of Luke, where most scholars believe that Luke got a lot of his information from the Blessed Mother, because we have the infancy narratives from her. And, you know, she reminds him in the second chapter, that she pondered things in her heart. She kept the things that happened to Christ and to her in her heart, which is a beautiful thing, just to keep in our mind that she is our model in terms of meditation. But I've shared this in the Bible New Year group, that a couple of years ago I picked up this book by Michael Pakaluk, and his name, the book is called Mary's Voice in the Gospel According to John. He basically retranslates the Gospel from the original Greek, and his working theory, his thesis behind it, is that because the Blessed Mother was given to John from the cross to be entrusted to her, entrusted to his care, and her to him, vice versa. I hope I just said that right. That they were to care for each other, but that, behold your mother, John was given the Blessed Mother for his care and protection. So when John is sitting down to compose the Gospel of John, where in, because it's the latest gospel to be written, it's the one that's probably the most reflective and thoughtful of the four gospels. This author believes that the Blessed Mother's voice can actually be heard in some of the text here. So it's a theory. It's a very interesting theory, and then sitting with the scripture and reading it and reading his commentary on it is another way that I find myself going into different meditations that I've never had before. So at 50 years of age and almost 25 years of priesthood, there's no limit to the depths and the riches of discovering God's word and his voice in a lot of different ways, in new and innovative ways. So that's my very long and rambling explanation why meditation is such a good thing. And just to encourage you, if you've never really practiced it, to investigate it and to try it for yourself. Obviously, you want to do it in as Catholic a setting as possible. So, you know, with good Catholic resources and perhaps with some good guides. And that's why some of these books that I'm mentioning, or the apps that I'm mentioning, are good places to start. Not to forget that the Lord wants to speak to us individually and personally. So that's another good reason for us to begin to contemplating. All right, so I'm really rambling here, and I'm gonna wrap it up here for this week. Thank you so much for listening to my ramblings every week and for supporting this podcast. It's a joy to share Pope Benedict's teaching with all of you, and to grow hopefully closer to the Lord and deeper in our own prayer. Keep me in your prayers, and I'll be praying for you. Have a great weekend. God bless you.